Transform your life today. Welcome to Super Coach with Michael Neal.
Morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is accidental success and the numbers to call to get coaching on having what you want and thriving in every area of your life. 866-254-1579. That's toll free. 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show by dialing your country code, followed by 760-918-4300. And as always, before I go to the phones, I'm going to set the table by talking a little bit about our topic. The most famous example that I could think of when I was thinking about accidental success, and this isn't actually even quite exactly what I mean, but we'll get there together, is Christopher Columbus, right? I mean, the man has his own day, here in America at least. You know, he's got a name day after him. And I mean, you know, obviously, you know, we all know the great story of, you know, Bobby Twos and his day and Frank Thurs. But Columbus has his own day for doing what? For basically saying he was going to find a shortcut to India and getting stuck halfway, running into what are now the West Indies and discovering or becoming known as the discoverer of America. That's one kind of accidental success. Another famous kind of accidental success we talk about in our culture, one of the stories that's often touted is Post-it notes. That was originally an offshoot of an attempt to develop a super strong adhesive. And it was so unsuccessful that they actually went, you know what, we could actually use this removable adhesive for something else. But the kind of accidental success that I'm really referring to in today's show is the success that comes about as the result of following your passion and focusing on what you want, focusing on what is of genuine interest to you, what you genuinely want to be spending your time doing. And I found some examples. Looking around, the examples I'm going to share with you come from a wonderful book called Obliquity, which is by John Kay. And the subtitle of the book is Why Our Goals Are Best Achieved Indirectly. And it's a fascinating kind of philosophical exploration of how the indirect approach is often the most successful approach to various things. And a couple of the examples that he gives, one of them is the company ICI, which is a British manufacturing company. And it's specifically a chemical company, and their old business purpose was this: ICI aims to be the world's leading chemical company, serving customers internationally through the innovative and responsible application of chemistry and related science. Through achievement of our aim, we will enhance the wealth and well-being of our shareholders, our employees, our customers, and the communities which we serve and in which we operate. And in fact, from World War II on, they were one of the most incredibly successful companies in terms of profitability through the application of chemistry and their passion for chemistry. And then one of their founders, guy became Sir James Black, wound up leaving, and they were taken over by a company that decided that they could be even more profitable if they pursued profit directly. And they changed their mission statement so that it became a very profit-oriented mission statement. And by 2007, they had completely ceased to exist as an independent company because that strategy backfired so spectacularly. Another example was Boeing. I think this was probably their unofficial business purpose, was to eat, breathe, and sleep the world of aeronautics. And again, from the time they started until really into the late 1990s, they were one of the most dominant brands around the world. And then they got a new CEO, and the CEO decided that they'd need to change their approach and they needed to become more direct. And he actually said, "We're going into a value-based environment where unit cost, return on investment, shareholder return are the measures by which you'll be judged." Now, that's very different from eating, breathing, and sleeping the world of aeronautics. Almost immediately, they began to lose market share, and they fell behind other companies, Airbus most notably. And it was only when a new CEO came in, re-emphasized focusing on aeronautics, what they were really all about, that Boeing regained in the last few years, became again the market leader in aeronautics. So we can find this. I'll give you one more example, actually. Merck was probably the one of the most famous companies, along with Pfizer, pharmaceutical companies. And, you know, initially, George Merck's initial philosophy, we try never to forget that medicine is for the people. It is not for the profits. The profits follow. And if we've remembered that, they have never failed to appear. The better we have remembered it, the larger they have been. Whereas the, I believe it was the CEO of Pfizer, his version of that was, so far as humanly possible, we aim to get profit out of everything we do. Now, this is not anti-profit, by the way. If you've tuned in, you know, expecting a coaching show and think, hey, you're occupying Wall Street. No. It's nothing to do with that. You've got your stand on whatever you've got your stand on. This is about looking at how success, more often than not, is a happy accident that comes about as the result of pursuing what you really love and want to do in the world. And I'll give you, one more example. So in contrast to the direction that Merck wound up going into after George Merck was no longer in charge, the direction Pfizer went, where both those companies collapsed quite dramatically in the wake of various lawsuits, the most profitable pharmaceutical company in the world right now, in terms of shareholder value, apparently Johnson & Johnson. And their credo is, we believe our first responsibility is to the doctors, nurses, and patients, to mothers and fathers, and all others who use our products and services. And then it finishes with the line, when we operate according to these principles, the stockholders should realize a fair return. And really, that's what we're talking about here, is that often people think they've got to choose between pursuing what they want and pursuing what will be profitable, what will make them money, what will make them successful in however they define success. And the truth in the real world is, in the very short term, there may be some truth in that. But over time, consistently, you can see it again and again throughout even the 20th century history and early 21st century with corporate America and businesses around the world, the direct pursuit of profit and success nearly always backfires and certainly isn't sustainable, whereas the pursuit of passion almost always is. And there's a blog post, I haven't been able to find the reference, and if I get it before the end of the show, or if somebody knows it, that would be great, and I'll put credit where credit is due. But there was a blog post recently on the connection between passion and profit, and the analogy I loved is that if you're going to go on a long journey, you're going to need a full tank of gas, and you're going to need to be able to refuel regularly. Well, in terms of that, profits and profitability, that's the gas we put in our tank, in the tank of our business, in the tank of our projects. So if we want to get somewhere, especially if we want to get somewhere that's very far from where we're starting, we're going to need to be profitable. And we're going to need to be able to be consistently profitable over time, in the same way as you're going to need gas to get somewhere, and you're going to need fairly consistent access to more gas because you're going to run out. But if you start to think that the purpose of your journey is to get gas, you're not going to have much of a journey, and you're not liable to get anywhere terribly interesting. And that's sort of what I mean when I'm talking about accidental success. It's not that you don't have an eye on the ball. It's not that you might not know that, wow, wouldn't it be cool if this really took off? It's that what you're actually pursuing is the difference you want to make in the world, the creativity you want to express in the world, the field of study you want to lose yourself in. And you recognize that one of the side effects of that is success. We're going to go to the phones in just a few minutes. If you want to get in, numbers to call again, 866-254-1579. It's toll-free in the United States and Canada, 866-254-1579. And if you were trying to phone the show, I've been told they were having trouble with the phones, but I think they've got them up and running now. And you can reach the show from outside the United States by dialing the country code, followed by 760-918-4300. And there's a story I love, and the story is about enlightenment, but I think it relates really well to success, and it's the story of a Zen master, and he would have his people, his students, do incredible amounts of practice and ritual, And they would do 10,000 prostrations to the north and 10,000 prostrations to the south and 10,000 prostrations to the east and 10,000 prostrations to the west, three times a day, morning, noon, and night. And then they would do other rituals and they would do meditations and they would do all this stuff. And one day the Zen master was giving a talk and he said, enlightenment is really just a happy accident. And, you know, to be honest, his students, as you might expect, were a little bit pissed off about this because they're like, why are we doing all this practice? And I loved his answer. He said, you're doing all this practice to become more accident prone. And I think that maps out beautifully to our own careers, our own businesses, our own lives, that the reason that you do stuff that would set you up well for success, the reason you keep track of profitability, the reason that you keep books, the reason that you engage in sales and marketing, even if your primary passion is chemistry, your primary passion is aeronautics, or your primary passion is something else, is to become more accident prone and to be more prepared for the possibility of success if and when it comes your way. And really that's that for me is one of the most beautiful shifts that you can make. I used to talk about it in terms of purpose and prerequisite. In other words, what's the purpose of your business? When I would coach people, I would say, what's the purpose of your business? And then what are the prerequisites? And essentially, the purpose of the business was always going to come down to either some version of profitability and success, or some version of making a difference. Whatever that difference was, whether it was making a difference through widgets or making a difference through coaching or making a difference through medicine or making a difference through whatever it was. And the fundamental difference was the businesses whose primary purpose they thought of as profitability and the prerequisite was that it made a difference ran very differently than the companies whose purpose was making a difference and whose prerequisite was profitability. And the one thing that I will say is if you don't at least make those two things prerequisites, in other words, if making a difference isn't at least a prerequisite, if not the purpose of your business, and if profitability isn't at least a prerequisite, not the purpose of your business, then you're not going to make it very long. You're not going to be very sustainable. And sort of reminds me, I don't even know if this is true, but I always remember hearing about the Shaker religion. Which was the religion that that outlawed sex and curiously only lasted one generation. Let's go to the phones. Let's begin in Brooklyn today and let's talk to Jerry. Jerry, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi, my name is Jerry.
Hey,
how you
Jerry.
Doing?
I'm well.
I'm in real estate business for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I do like helping people and finding their first home, but and I look at the commission second.
Yeah.
But sometimes I get disillusioned. Maybe this is not the right field for me, and I get discouraged, you know, with some of the negative people that I'm really trying to help. I have a big conflict.
Okay, so let me ask a couple questions. So now I happen to have been around enough businesses to know that you can find negative people and miserable in pretty much every profession. So I'm wondering how do you see that as relevant to your decision about whether you kind of go deeper into what you're doing or make a change?
Because I'm really giving my heart and soul into my business and mm-hmm. don't realize that it's real. They just think, you know, it's just a salesperson talking or I'm trying to get over on them, which is not the truth. I mean, they don't see my real intentions. I mean, of course, I try to make a living, but that doesn't come first. I always feel like if you do the right thing for people, then money will come.
So let me ask you, Jerry, is that the dominant thing? Do most people think that when they meet you? Or is that there has been a few people recently who have put that on you? Because my experience is I can tell where somebody's coming from within the first minute.
Right. Right.
So I'm curious about the fact that you think that people are misperceiving your intentions on a regular basis.
No, it's not really a regular basis, but I guess I'm very sensitive, and
okay.
it, does affect me.
Sure, sure. So that's a that's a different problem to solve, right? If you find it difficult when somebody misattributes your motives,
right?
That's a very different question about okay, what can I do with that? Then do I need to get out of this field? So I guess my next question for you, and I hope it's okay that I'm just asking questions, but it's because I've known you for about 2.5 minutes, thought it might be useful, is what is it that you love about this business when you love it?
What I love about this business is, you know, meeting the people and making their dreams come true and changing their lives. I mean, most of the people I work with, they're just coming in to a home with little amount of money, and this is really a big accomplishment for most of the people. So that really makes me happy when I make them happy.
So if I caught you in a month, like if I phoned you on your radio show, and I caught you on a month where you just helped 5 new families get their first home.
Right.
Would you be wanting to talk about leaving the business?
No.
Okay. So what that suggests to me, and it's just a suggestion, but what that suggests to me is that it's not the business that you're struggling with.
Okay, yeah.
It's to do with either the lack of results you might be having at the moment, or my guess would be you had a couple of really bad clients or conversations with colleagues, and you're just feeling disgruntled right now. Would that be fair?
Yes, that would be fair.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
Yeah, and you know what? That happens. And if you see that that's what's happening, it's not that big a deal. I was talking to a client today, and we were trying to find an analogy for this, and we came up with this one, which, you know, in Brooklyn probably will work for you, is if you move to Brooklyn, you move to an apartment that was right by the subway and you know, shook when the subway went past,
uh-huh.
And you didn't know that it was by the subway. Like you were a transplant from L.A., from earthquake country, and every time the apartment shook, you thought it was an earthquake. You would be totally freaked out. You wouldn't want to buy that apartment. You would just you would think, oh my God, this is awful. You might be scared. You would have a whole set of feelings that would feel incredibly real to you, and you might even be really pissed off at the, you know, the realtor who showed you the place, because, you know, how could they do this? I mean, you know, God, I left the West Coast because I was tired of earthquakes. Now, as soon as that person gets that all that's happening is the subway's going by, all of that goes away. They might still not like it. They might still prefer if that didn't happen. But all the fear, all the insecurity, all the worry, all the blame, all of that would disappear. Can you see how that would happen?
Yes, definitely. It's the way you're proceeding this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same thing. As soon as you see that all that's going on is you've had a couple of bad experiences in a short space of time.
I agree with you 100%. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying.
All right. Well, and then, you know, the beautiful thing about that is there's nothing you need to do. Go back and go help get some more people into new homes and have fun.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do. I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, Jerry. Thanks for phoning in. You can phone back anytime.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Do you know, I mean, it's funny how often we start to think that we need to make these big life decisions because we're having a bad day. You know, I have a friend, Mandy Evans, who sometimes says that, you know, there's an incredible number of divorces that have happened in the world because people won't take the time to have a nap. You know, you just get so worked up and you get so caught up and you just think, well, I can't take a break. And then you wind up feeling so miserable, you start looking outside you for why you're feeling so miserable. And surely it must be that person who's always in the house with you, or surely it must be this job that you've got, or surely it must be this. And you start blaming everything around you for, you know, what really is just the result of a low mood. And when your mood changes, when your mood rises, and it always does, it's just the nature of moods, the world doesn't look so bad, and you realize that most of the time, there's not even anything to be done. And when there is something to be done, it's fairly straightforward to go ahead and do it. Let's go over from New York to Massachusetts, and let's speak to Susan in Gloucester. Susan, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Thanks. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
I've been listening to your show for a while, but haven't quite ever had the courage to call before. You know, because I've struggled for some time with how do I best put my gifts together in a way that would yield an interesting and challenging career for me, and just wondered, like, how you get your clients started in going down that path of, like, putting it together in a way that works for them.
Sure. One of the things that I hear immediately when you say that, Susan, is it that sounds so intellectual.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily mean that in a good way.
Okay.
You know, I'm not against intellectuals, some of my best friends, including all of my family. But it's like, listen to the difference between these two statements, okay? I'm thinking about putting together a plan to take the best of what I have to offer into practice in a receptive market arena. That would be one way of saying something. And another way of saying the same thing that somebody else might use is, God, I'd love to sell more pizza.
Actually, neither one. I'm totally I mean, I guess that second one, I could hear the passion, but selling is, I guess, the word.
Well, you're getting into the content of it. I'm not suggesting that you, Susan, that's what you really want to do is sell pizza. But what I'm saying is that there's a big difference between what we want and what we think we have to do in order to get it. Mm-hmm. And if we get I call it premature practicality. If we get prematurely practical, if we get caught up in the how-to before we've really gotten clear on the what, it just holds us back.
Sure.
So So how I would start with a client, how I would start with you is to say, what would you love to do? Forget about whether or not you can. Forget about whether or not you're any good at it. Forget about whether or not the market will bear it. If all jobs paid the same and you get to make up your own job and it would just work, what job would you make up?
I guess it would be a combination of writing and coaching.
Okay, cool. So writing and coaching. What kinds of things would you write and coach about?
Topics of personal growth.
Okay. Brilliant. So you'd write about personal growth. You'd coach people around personal growth. And is there a particular methodology or philosophy that you're particularly attracted to and drawn to and use?
I would say a whole combination of things over the years. But I think that's the area where I probably want more clarity and more input, you know, in terms of refining it.
Okay. So yeah, it does. So, but let's backtrack a little bit and just see what we've already done in the space of about a minute and a half. We've gone from trying to take your gifts and figure out how to package them to, oh, I'd like to coach and write.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can coach and you can write and you can make money doing both over time. And the I'm going to say to you, and this is from experience as much as common sense, that the way you evolve your philosophy and get clear is by starting to coach and write.
Okay.
Because as you write, it forces all these kind of loose ideas and thoughts in your head into a linear form. That's kind of the beauty of writing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get into a linear form, you can see the gaps.
Right.
And in terms of coaching, when you start coaching people, you'll find out very quickly what works and what doesn't, because your clients will tell you.
Okay.
So if you're willing for it to be that simple, you can be on your way this afternoon. You can sit down and write something this afternoon. You can take a thought that you're having about some aspect of personal development that intrigues you and write something about it.
Okay.
And you're on your way. You're right into the creation of your business, the living of your passion. It's that simple.
How have you learned to keep it that simple?
it stays mostly that simple for me because I've learned not to complicate it.
Okay.
In other words, simplicity is its natural state. Complexity is what we do with it. We're coming up on our first break. Thank you very much for phoning in, Susan. We will be back with more of your calls. Steve and Joy, you are next in the queue. If you want to get in the second half of the show, 866-254-1579 is the number to call. You can follow me on Twitter at Michael_Neal or online at supercoach.com. Talk to you in a minute.
To the heart of the matter with Dr. Darren Weissman.
In the words of the hairstyle icon, Albert Einstein, the pursuit of truth and beauty is a sphere of activity in which we are permitted to remain children our entire lives. Infinite love and gratitude. Today's show is titled Truth is a matter of perception. So I want to announce the winner from last week's show. Each week, if you go to my Dr. Darren Weissman, so it's D-R and then D-A-R-R-E-N and then Weissman. If you go to my Dr. Darren Weissman Facebook public page and you post your experience as a result of the Heart of the Matter show, your name is put into a special raffle. And then you get a special prize that I announce on the following week's show. So the winner from last week's show, which was titled Forgiving Yourself Back to Life from Depression to Dynamite, is Veggie Wong. And Veggie Wong wrote, amazing, Dr. Darren, I'm a new listener, but this topic, forgiving yourself back to life from depression to dynamite, came just at the right time. I feel letting go and being more loving towards myself after listening to you on Hay House, and the words of infinite love and gratitude is always repeating in my mind. Thank you, Dr. Darren and Veggie Wong. Infinite love and gratitude, thank you. So you are the winner of what is called the Road to Inner Peace Healing Circle. This is a healing circle that I do each and every week at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And you might be thinking, oh man, I can't be on at that time. It's okay. It can be downloaded into an MP3 form and listened to later. You'll think that you're on live and you're going to think that I'm just speaking to you. This is a powerful healing circle. If you want to be a part of the Road to Inner Peace Healing Circle, simply go to my Dr. Darren Weissman Facebook. Not my Facebook. You could go to my Facebook page, but if you just go to my website, drdarrenweissman.com, and sign up for this coming week, and we're going to take truth is a matter of perception, and we're going to put that into an intention and create a really wonderful vibration for all of humanity, because this is about creating world peace through inner peace. So go to my website and sign up for the healing circle, and then also visit me on my Facebook page, and we can have fun and interact, because I stay active on that, and it's really cool. It's really cool. And once again, if you want to be a part of the December training in Chicago, go to the website. I look forward to meeting you. So let's get back to the lines. And I'd like to take from St. Petersburg, Florida, Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the Heart of the Matter.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. How can I help you, my friend?
Well, I've done a lot of work on myself, and it's been fun, and it's been interesting, but I keep getting caught on this not good enough, and how that comes out is reaction and anger, and then I'm really hard on myself, also very self-critical.
Mm.
But people come to me because I'm positive, but there's still this, especially in personal relationships, when someone gets too close to me,
mm-hmm.
is when it really comes out, and that's the place that I want it the most.
Right. But all of a sudden, it's interesting. I want to explain something to you. It's so fascinating. Because the moment that we wake up in the morning, and we take our first conscious breath, Christine, and then throughout our entire day, we have this energy field that's called our mind. Okay. And that mind is, it has positive and negative charges. It's a magnet. And at any moment throughout the day, and actually many moments throughout the day, what happens is this energy field gets triggered and it creates a reactive pattern.
Yeah.
For you, as you're saying, all of a sudden, it's like, wow, what I really desire most is intimacy,
mm-hmm.
right? But as soon as you go into this intimacy type of scenario rather than being the positive person that you are, you know, 90%+ of the rest of your life, you go into this place where you're reactive and angry, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And this is what they call a Gemini thought virus.
Okay.
Okay. And a Gemini thought virus is a virus in your mind. Viruses are nothing unless they have a host. And so a virus can affect our cells in our body. A virus can affect a computer. This virus is impacting the energy field of your mind. And when it gets triggered, the Gemini is all about on the outside, I show a certain face, but on the inside, I'm feeling something completely different. Okay. And it's a thought. And we know that a thought can be changed, but the key is to understand where does this Gemini thought virus come from? And so what we always want to do is we go, hey, Christine, given the opportunity to create your life a day or even a moment, would you ever choose to create it where becoming intimate and having a reciprocal relationship with something that caused you to not feel good enough? Would you ever choose to create your life that way?
No, of course not.
Yeah, no, of course not. And that's the beauty of it. That part of you that says, no, of course not, that part of you is going to lead you right now into the type of relationship and the type of experience that you truly do desire to have. Okay?
Yeah.
And so yeah, no doubt. And so let's do that. So we already know you wouldn't choose to not feel good enough and to be reactive and angry, but given a menu of infinite possibilities, and you got to go into your heart to find that menu, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What do you choose to feel, Christine?
Peace.
So claim it. Claim it as if you're already there. And the way that you do it is say, I am peace.
And love. I am peace.
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 And are you open to using your imagination?
Yes.
Imagine that it's your nature to be peace. And really just see yourself where you are peaceful in your mind and peaceful in your heart. Peaceful in your relationships, peaceful in how you express yourself. People are peaceful just being around you, let alone just thinking about you. How does it feel, Christine, to imagine this is your nature all the time?
Wonderful.
Yeah, and that's your intention. Write that down. I am peace, feeling wonderful. And that is love. That is love. And here's the deal. There's a limiting belief program that's in your throat chakra. You've got these Gemini thought viral programs in your throat chakra. Yeah, there's 36 of them. You got 36 Gemini thought viruses in your fifth chakra. And so when this part of you gets triggered, you know, first and foremost, the throat chakra is all about what? Expressing yourself. Based upon what you feel in your heart and know to be true so that you can create what? Boundaries or relationships. And there's a part of you that becomes limited in creating healthy boundaries and healthy relationships. And this is tied in with your earth element, which means it's associated with your mom. And I want you to connect to your mom right now. And as you're connecting with your mom right now, Christine, I invite you to repeat after me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mom.
Mom.
I know. That you love me.
That you love me.
You've always loved me, Mom.
You've always loved me, Mom.
And you'll always love me.
And you'll always love me.
The very best way.
The very best way.
That you know how.
That you know how.
I accept you, Mom.
I accept you, Mom.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
And I forgive you.
And I forgive you.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you, Mom.
For being one of my very greatest teachers.
My very greatest teacher.
I love you unconditionally. And Mom?
And Mom.
By the way. I am peace.
I am peace.
Feeling wonderful.
Feeling wonderful.
In fact, it's my nature, Mom.
It's my nature.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
So there's this subconscious addiction that you've got going on to an emotion. See, emotions bind to receptors in our body that heroin binds to. That means that emotions can become addictive. In fact, emotions are addictive. And you have an emotional addiction to what's called craving perfection.
Oh, jeez, of course.
And when I bring up the concept of craving perfection, I want you to be aware of your first and immediate thoughts. No matter what or who you think about, wherever craving perfection takes you, Christine, let me know you're connected by saying out loud, infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
And now this becomes your attractor field, where you have an attractor field where you view yourself and the world around you through a lens of craving perfection. And when that part of you gets triggered, guess what that part says? I'm not good enough. And then there's a reaction of anger. And this began at 2 months after your birth. 2 months after your birth, Christine, you were in an environment of craving perfection. And in that environment, you didn't have the ability to say, yeah, but regardless, goo goo gaga, I am peace feeling wonderful. At 2 months after birth, you didn't have the ability to say that, did you?
No.
No, more than that, your environment, specifically your mother, didn't have the ability to teach you and guide you and model for you how to authentically express your emotions and feelings and create healthy, intimate, reciprocal relationships, because your mom didn't know how to do that for herself. Right?
Yes.
So she couldn't teach you what she didn't know. If she could, she would.
Right.
And as you're connecting to the 2 month after birth part of you, who's still in the environment of craving perfection, let me know you are by saying out loud, infinite love and gratitude.
I'm also very afraid.
Yeah. And as you're feeling that fear right now, say it with me. Say it with me. Go after the fear.
Okay.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Because it's not you who's afraid, but it's the 2 month young part of you who's afraid. And she happens to take over for driving your bus, right? And that affects every aspect of how your heart beats and how you connect with others in relationship. And it takes you out of the present moment, and it makes you 2 months after birth again and again and again, as if you're experiencing it for the first time, over and over again. Infinite love and gratitude to fear.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude to fear.
Infinite love and gratitude to fear.
My name is Christine.
My name is
And I'm now choosing.
And I'm now choosing.
To bring out my very best.
To bring out my very best.
And shine bright.
And shine bright.
Like the sun.
Like the sun.
By being 100%.
By being 100%.
Ready.
Ready.
Willing.
Willing.
Able.
Able.
Safe.
And safe.
Worthy.
Worthy.
Supported.
Supported.
Downright deserving. Available.
Available.
Fully motivated and committed.
Fully motivated and committed.
To own my power.
To own my power.
With infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
By feeling wonderful.
Feeling wonderful. Now.
And forever.
Now and forever.
Regardless.
Regardless.
Of how painful.
Regardless of how painful.
Scary.
Scary.
Or stressful. Life is.
Has been.
Or will be.
I am peace.
It's my nature. Infinite love and gratitude. Hey, Christine, welcome back from 2 months after birth. Yeah. All your ancestors are just rooting you on. You're like, you are changing a family tradition of craving perfection. You are shifting this addictive pattern. Welcome home, Christine. Observe how it feels to be present right now.
The first thing I go to is, how do I keep that up?
You want to know how?
Yeah.
I do a healing circle every Tuesday.
Okay.
It's called the Road to Inner Peace Healing Circle. You join me on that? Okay, join me on that. And I'm going to recommend my first book for you too. Have you read my first book, Power of Infinite? You haven't.
No,
stay in the line.
No, not about you.
Okay, cool. Well, there's a lot of cool stuff. And are you going to the I Can Do It in Tampa?
Maybe.
Yeah, I will. Come and give me a big hug. I can't wait to meet you in person.
Okay.
Definitely do it. It'll be amazing. You know, it's a great thing. If you want to looking how to do it, jump into your life, throat chakra, use your willpower, take action. You want to learn how to maintain it? Become a certified Lifeline practitioner. Jump into it. Go for it in your life. You can do it if you choose to do it. Stay in the line. You're going to need a copy of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. I can't wait to meet you one day, Christine.
Thank you.
Keep shining, my friend. So we are going to, I'd like to go to Alice in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Hello, Alice.
Thank you, Dr. Weissman. Hi.
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 How can I help you?
I am feeling both adrift and stuck with a lot of shame and guilt. Yeah.
Yeah, and let me just ask you a question. Did you wake up today going, wow, today is an amazing day to feel really adrift, stuck, and filled with shame and guilt, and I would love to have a day feeling this way?
I woke up feeling I can't do this anymore.
So I want to ask you a question. What can you do? See, this is the challenge, Alice, that most people have, is they focus on what they can't do, what they don't want anymore, what they'd like to get over in their life. And what we know is what we focus on grows. So let me ask you, what are you focusing on, my love? You have a menu of infinite adjacent possibilities. What do you choose to feel, Alice? Go for it.
Sparkling, energetic, potential, accomplishment.
You're a rock star, lady. And what I like to do is I like to use the first word because the subconscious mind's simple. It's binary. It only likes a direct action. So the first word was sparkling. Go ahead and say it. I am sparkling.
I am sparkling.
I am sparkling.
I am sparkling.
Imagine, Alice, it's your nature to be sparkling. It doesn't matter what happens or doesn't happen. It's how you see. You see through sparkling eyes. You're feeling through a sparkling heart. Everything and everyone sparkles around you just by being around you. How does it feel to imagine this is your nature all the time, Alice?
Happy.
Yeah. And see, the part of you who's not feeling happy is a 6-year-old little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll tell you something. This is a trauma pattern at 6.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a trauma pattern 6. And all chakras have a state of resistance. They're not, I usually talk about singular ones. 1 through 7 are, you've got total misperception of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a limiting belief throughout all 7 chakras, and it's a metal element. So rather than being in the strength and stability of metal, when this part of you, this 6-year-old part of you gets triggered, you react with core instability.
Yes.
And that 6-year-old part of you is in a state of grief.
Mm-hmm.
Because that environment is filled with grief, and no one has the ability to model, guide, or teach what they don't know. And what we're going to do is we're going to upgrade your field right now.
Thank you.
Okay, let's do it. And so we're going to activate the energy of your spirit, which is pure love. We're going to harmonize it with your beautiful body, all the cells of your body, all the relationships in your life. I invite you to repeat, infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
And we're going to harmonize your beautiful body with your spirit of pure love, infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
As we unify and harmonize your spirit as one field of pure love, infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Alice, we're activating the infinite field of your mind, and we're harmonizing your infinite mind with your infinite body and your infinite potential to shine. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Your body is now being harmonized with your mind. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Your mind and body are being unified as one infinite field. Alice, everything's possible right now. Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
We're plugging into Mother Earth. The thriving energy of Mother Earth. Mother Earth's body is like your body, a thriving body. I invite you to repeat, my body is thriving.
My body is thriving.
My life is thriving.
My life is thriving.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
My thoughts are thriving.
My thoughts are thriving.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Love is thriving.
Love is thriving.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
As we now connect to the universe, the divine consciousness, to God, and bring this energy into your body, into your relationships right now, so that you know that all is well, and I invite you to repeat, I am one with my body.
I am one with my body.
I am one with life.
I'm one with life.
All is well.
All is well.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
I am one with my thoughts.
I am one with my thoughts.
All is well.
All is well.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
I am one love.
I am one love.
All is well.
All is well.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Infinite love and gratitude.
Alice, welcome to the present moment. Welcome
Thank you,
home.
Sir.
Yeah. Welcome back from 6 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. And I want you to notice how it feels to be present right now, Alice.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Infinitely. What do you notice about being here now?
I feel like moving. I just feel like moving.
Yeah. Put on some music and dance, my friend. I have a question for you. Have you read my book, Awakening to the Secret Code of Your Mind?
No, I have not. What a title.
Yeah, well, it is a powerful, very empowering book. And the exercise I just did with you is in Awakening to the Secret Code of Your Mind. So for those of you that are listening, get that book. It's amazing. This is a great exercise to do in the morning when you wake up and before you go to bed. It's a great way to get present. Hold on the line. You're going to get that as a gift, and you just keep shining in your sparkly way. I'm sparkling, feeling happy, Alice.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, my love. Have a great day. All right. So I want to go to Dorinda in Farmington Hills, Michigan. Hi, Dorinda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Did I say your name right, Dorinda?
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous. How can I help you?
My question is, I've been doing a lot of inner work, learning about chakras, energies, and I'm doing a lot. I feel like I've made a lot of progress. But the question I have now is, where are some of those? I went to an actual subconscious and mind lecture a couple weeks ago with, I believe her name was Dr. Lorraine Kissel, and that was here locally. And I got really present to, at that point, wow, there's a lot that you're doing, but if you still got those underlying messages,
right.
It doesn't work. So that's where the stop is.
But the challenge is not the programs that are in there. The programs are in there to protect a part of you.
Okay.
See, when we have a limiting belief, and a lot of people think, oh, geez, I got to get rid of this limiting belief.
Mm-hmm.
I got to find the limiting belief. Uh-uh. It's about focusing on where you're going. Where you focus is where you grow. So you want to grow. It's about, and this is easier said than done, because when you get triggered, you go into a reactive state. And then your ability to think or feel is only based upon the belief. But the key is, and this is our connection to God, this is our divine connection, always focus on where you're going. And so the key is to set your intention on where you're going as if you're already there. And if you were already there, you could say, I am. And so, Dorinda, for you, it's about coming up with an I am intention.
Okay.
From your heart. And then once you know your I am intention from your heart, then you want to use your imagination so you can really feel in your heart what it feels like.
Okay.
Because it's the feeling that creates the healing. And then with infinite love and gratitude to focus on your I am feeling, now the limiting beliefs automatically begin to just naturally just fade away, because what you focus on grows. Hey, Dorinda,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I'm not able to go any further because it's the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to do is wait on the line. I'm going to give you a copy of The Power of Infinite Love and Gratitude. And
okay.
Thank you so much for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome, love. So today's show has been titled, Truth is a Matter of Perception. Truth is a matter of perception. And you've been tuned in for the past hour to the Heart of the Matter radio show here on HayHouseRadio.com. And this is radio for your soul. You know, in the words of Leonardo da Vinci, all our knowledge has its origins in our perceptions. I'm Dr. Darren Weissman. Thank you for tuning in, tuning up. You keep shining bright. Infinite love and gratitude.